Okay, today's daf is daf Lamed Daled, and last year we ended with the following. Taman Tanin, and it says, Eretz Yisrael Torah Mikvotayim Torim. So there's two assumptions we can make in Eretz Yisrael. One is the gzer that applies to Chutz La'aretz, that it's considered Tameh, doesn't apply to anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, even if areas are different people live in those areas, it doesn't make a difference. It's fine. However, and also Mikvotayim Torim, meaning its assumption is that all the mikvot are not made of drawn water. That's the assumption you can make. Okay? Eretz Kutim Torah, similarly, the areas of the Kutim, they are also Tahor, Umikvotayim, Umadoreteha, Ushvilea Not just the mikveh are Tahor, meaning Maim Shuvim, we'll discuss this and we'll qualify it soon. And also the dwelling pl and their and also their it land, the areas Tahor, also their dwelling places and their Shvilim, meaning their pathways. Why? Shvilim Torim Chazaka in Borot Lehem Shvila Mitara. When they would make these shvilim, they would select them. Their understanding, the kutim themselves would make it go over like cemeteries and things like that. Okay, not fair. Then it says, "Umikvatem torim, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Josiah, hadadat amar la minosh eino shovim." When do we say that they are tahurim? That is to the extent that we will believe the nochri that it is not shauv, meaning it's not made of drawn water. Then just turn on the tap and fill it up. So it's a kosher mikveh in that sense. However, there's another requirement of a mikveh. The requirement of a mikveh has to be arbim se'ah. So if he says, "Oh, yeah, it's fine," halamidat arbim se'ah, lo, that we don't believe in. Why? The darshei again. If you remember, they have interesting ways of darshing the Torah that's not al pi chazal. They understand ach mayan ubor mikveh mayim. They see mayan and bor in the same pasuk, meaning or mikveot, all written in the same pasuk. So ma mayan tahor. Just as a ma'ayan is metaher, even b'kol shavu, chachamim agree with that. So therefore, they understand mikveh is also written in the same pasuk. So you don't need a shear of arbim se'ah. It doesn't matter what the quantity is. And therefore, since they don't really care about that din and they say, "Oh, don't worry, it's a kosher mikveh, it's fine." Okay, ma'am shuvah, it's fine. But if you're not sure about if it's got the shear of a mikveh, that you can't trust them regarding. Okay, let's continue. Next, so ba'un marabba ba'u, chalut shalem ma'un. Now, chalut, if you remember, we learned this earlier in the Masechta, that is that it would then pour boiling hot water on flour. So it's not actually cooked. So what's the din of ma'im, what's the din of chalut shalem? Now, when it came to anochri, I think if we remember, since it's not a, considered something that's mamash mavushal, the issur of bishul akum didn't apply to it. So it says, amarlun, he said to, so they asked for marabba ba'u, he said to them, halavaya yinuchim gam. It'd be amazing if we can even ask for their own water. Meaning extend the gzera as far as possible to have any interactions us with them. Why? So I'll show you here the Pnei Moshe. It says, the Dugma Alma, this is La Friza Lamida. It wasn't seriously entertaining the idea that you can ask for their water, but it's an expression of exaggeration to illustrate the point. It's best if we could sever any interactions with them. Really, now you have to be careful here. Therefore, we have to be machmir with them like nochrim, and therefore we should be machmir in dinim keshel nochrim. So according to that, it would seem to be that chalut would be mutar then. In other words, no worse than an ochri. Now, the question with halavai seems to be that I think Mafarshim, I think I've on the art scroll here that it seems to they explain actually even they were, it would get even more machmir than ochrim because of their appeal and the effect that we're having on the on other Jewish peoples. In other words, all these things of bishul akum is to prevent sort of that intermarriage and that sort of close connection in that way. So, but in any event, it seems to be according to Moshe the way he understands that it would be a mutar, so no worse than an ochri. But equal to. Now, Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha says b'shem Rabchena, kutay de kisri mutar lavo beribit. Meaning, according to the reading of where we have now, is that you can even lend money to them with interest. Now, as soon as you say that, that means they have a din of a goy gamur, because you're not allowed to lend with interest to a Jew, as Pnei Moshe says, lefish asum kenochrim gemurim. The Gemara says that doesn't make sense. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi by Me'ata, if you're treating them like a goyim gamurim, then also we say Me'ata lo nechush lechalatan. You shouldn't be choshish for the chala. Meaning that their dough and why? Because a chala nochri, meaning the dough, the isat nochri, sorry, is part of machala. But the fact is, you see where choshesh for, well, I said at the time, there were choshesh for the dor of Nochri, meaning that would separate challah from it. V'nan chami rabbanan de chashishun. So were they treated vaday kegoyim? Was it like a chumrah they placed on them? It's not so clear. I mean, the first shita seems to be, if you can learn with their interest, is that they were vaday kegoyim. Okay, but the counter is, if it's vaday kegoyim, then why you make it with a challah, with their dough? Okay, let's continue now. This is now halacha hey. Now, this is very similar to the case we saw before. Before we saw where the Mishnah was, they were just transporting them together. And he stepped out for a few minutes. The question was, does it make the yain, the barrels, their asur? And it depends. Depends if the Nochri knew where it was going, and if he did, you had a time limit. And the discussion was, it was effectively the time that the Nochri felt he would have time to open the barrel access and seal and cover his tracks. Okay, how much to remove and how much to seal, that was the debate we saw between Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So here we've got two more cases very similar, this mission and the next one. Next is if he leaves Yainho Bakaron on a wagon or on a sfila, v'alach lo. He takes a shortcut to Nichnas al-Medina to go quickly into the city, he uses the back streets if you're out light, to Rachatz and comes back, it's mutar. Because again, the goy doesn't know when he's going to be coming back. If he tells him he's going, shumaflig will be a while, then it's the same machlok we saw before. Kadeshi stom the v'yigov. However, if Shimon ben Gamliel omer kadeshi yiftach v'yigov v'yitigov. Okay, yafe. Now, maniach yaino bekaron. So Amrav Chanina, maisa bekaron echad b'shel beit Rebbe. Shiflig that he left your term arba mil, more than 4 miles. So it's a significant time where he was. Atuk de Mirabanan, the Chachem came back for Achshon, as it was kosher, based on what we said, because the Goy didn't know when he was coming back. Okay? So even though it was a long period of time, he wasn't sure to come back any minute. So it doesn't matter the longer he goes, it's not going to build any more confidence. So Amrin Bahada Istra Istrata de Tzaidun Havu Vakul Havot. So first we're saying, no, we're qualifying this. And this situation was Amru de Mizah Tamikshir. This is the reason the Shifish Pen Moshe Shifid Derek Sholchim Letzidan Haita. This is on a particularly common or frequent road. The Shchiach by Israel are banned. Lots of Jews were going there. And that's what the deterrent was. So it wasn't that because he didn't know he was coming back anytime soon, but rather because it seemed to be that the place wasn't a safe place that he felt he could get away with it. There was too many Israelim walking by. He's scared. So Chinina says, no, you don't even need that reason to say why it's ruled the kula. Why Lafisha? I'll show you the Pnei Moshe Lafisha lifamim shehu ro'eh arbe ala derech. In other words, at a distance, sometimes you can have trees, thorns, different plants, and actually you're not sure whether they're people or not. In other words, v'savar nochrishem b'nei adam v'nivatu mitarei milegabehem. And therefore, despite the fact you might think he has a when he left the boat, there's usually a big expanse that it should be reason to make it like Asur, Machmir, maybe in that situation. No, because even these big expanses, you can see like trees and things like that are around, that sometimes you're not sure is it a human being or not. So even then, it is a reason to be, that was a reason to be, that's why he was Makel and said, even though you went Arba Milim, it's still okay. Let's continue. This is an Allah Chavav. Similar case, he leaves his Nochri in his shop. Despite the fact, so it shouldn't be Afalpi, but really because he is going Yotzevenichnas, that's what will make it Mutar. Okay? Fine. Now, however, Imodio, again, once he tells him, I'm actually going down to the bank, I'm going to the post office, something like that, Maflig, then he's going to then Kadesh go. Same type of position in terms of how much time, will he have enough time to access the wine and cover his tracks? And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, as long a time which gave Tachvigov. Now, the question that should be asking is, why do I need all three Mishnayot? They're effectively saying the same thing. The principle behind it is, if the Goy is mirtat, if he's concerned that he'll get caught, then it's fine. You can leave him there for a long period of time. As soon as he feels he's comfortable, then it'll be how much time he can get away with it. That's the principle for all these three cases, whether it was on the walk in the way, whether it was on the wagon, the boat, or whether it's in leaving him in the shop. So the Panei Moshe says as follows: I need all three. Dik tani mar vi kede yain. If it was in the first case, habi min a hatam mir tat nochri de sabra hashta chazili. He's going to see me. Aval svina vakaron maflig leila svinate vakarono va'avid by mai de baye velo mirtat. It might be that what happens when he's on the boat and the wagon, he's got the capacity to move along. Okay? And maybe that situation would be a concern. However, itane svina vakaron velo tani chanot. If I don't talk the cases of the svina and the karon, I didn't teach the case of the shop. Havamina, I think the svina vakaron mirtat. On those situations, he's scared. And therefore, that's enough of a deterrent to access the wine. Because he left in that direction, I have no idea he might be coming in the other direction. He doesn't know which way to look over his shoulder. However, in other Kaimenatzad, the Chazili, maybe he's standing over there and can see me even though I saw him going off in that direction. But if he's in his shop, he can simply say, you know, even like, all I can simply shut the door, and even if it's at a distance, he's not going to see me. And in that situation, there's not mirtat. And if I leave him alone, it should be asur. So each case is a bigger chiddush. So in that situation, it's okay if you didn't know. Okay, fine. And Gemara says, Hamineach et nochri b'chanoto. Mishnah says here, this is ker Rebbe Meir, or I should say, the way the Panamosh explains it, this works a feel like Rebbe Meir. What's the case of Rebbe Meir? Now we need again the Panei Moshe, if you don't mind. He says, Klomar, Matnita filu Rameata, Dashmaina Rebbe Meir de Leinyan Tarot Machmir Hu. We see by Torah is Machmir, like in the seventh parak of Tarot, Kabe Maniach Ama Aretz Betoch Beito. If you live in Ama Aretz in your house, then the Ama Aretz is someone who's not careful with the laws and Tumatar, so he's assumed to be Tamer. Right? Big day Ama Aretz and Midras, as he said. So in other words, you live on top of the house. Beito, the question is, do I have to be cautious that he started touching on the taro and messed up my house? Many made it tamer. The Tinan Sham, the Mishnah says, be eshet chaver sheinichat eshet amaretz. Eshet chaver that has a next door neighbor or friend of hers, but she's a wife of an amaretz. That tochenet batochbe, she leaves her grinding in her house. Paske rachaim, if the eshet chaver is outside the house and she hears, or I should say, doesn't hear her grinding anymore, then the bait's tamer. All that's his tamer, because she's not no longer pinned down to the mill. However, she calls manchi or second b'malacha in olechet. While she's engaging this mill, you can hear the sound going. She's locked to it. In other words, umesha mesha b'toch bait. Ukishigamer malachto. Once you finish anochoshim, we can sketch. She touched tarot lo paskar rechaim. If however the mill's still going, the bait's tamer. Hayushtaim. However, if he left, if the woman invited two of her friends who were the wives of Amei Aretz. Then Benkach Obechach Abay Tameh. Why? Because Shechat Tochen, at one's grinding. Vachat Meshet. Sorry, Meshet. Meshet. Right. And the other one is Memash Meshet. That's the word. And the other one is going about the house. That's Pibber Rebbe Meir. You know, the Rebbe Meir is very Machmer that he assumes if you leave this Amaretz in the house, we should be concerned about Torah throughout the entire house. Because she may start walking around and being a bit curious what's in this pot, what's in this cupboard, and make everything Tameh. However, Chachamim Amon Meikil says, "Ein tamei ela makom shaya yuchim lifshot et yadem liga." Meaning, we're not concerned that she's going to ground the entire house. Only places that are within arm's reach of where she was allowed to be, that's what we're concerned about. So what's the Gemara telling us the Chiddush now? After Remeir de Machmiru Batarot, despite the fact that Remeir is Machmir Batarot, that we're concerned that person, you know, went around the entire house and Batarot things, Mekil who nonetheless by Yain Nesech is more Mekil or Mode, he agrees. Lachta, we learned the Mishnah, Maniach, Nochri Bechanot. If he's Yotzev and Nichnas, then the Lo Samcha Daita Da Nochri Liga, then Kanamara Rav Chamelakame. In other words, as soon as he's Yotzev and Nichnas, that's a deterrent, even though again, normally Rabbi Meir is more Machmer when it comes to Tarot that the whole house of the Kamtameh. In this situation, even by Yain Nesech, he agrees that Yotzev Nechnes is enough if you like to ensure that your wine is okay. Okay, that's the. So it's, when it says Kerimir, it's more like a Afilu Kerimir. As we said, the Dramim says, Benkach Ubenkach Abayit Amet. Just remember what that case was. That's where the Eshet Chaver left two of her friends that were Eshet Amei Haaretz. And then we said the whole house of Tameh. Now, according to Rimir, Rav Chama says, Bishr Miyosi Barchinina, the chatzer hachaluka b'mesifas. If we've got a chatzer that is divided with sort of like little poles and the like, it's there's like a marking mechitza nemucha, a small fence. It says And on one side, importantly, one side is the tzad of the Am Haaretz, and the, so of the Chaver, and the other side is the tzad of the Am Haaretz. HaTohorot Tameh and Yai Nesach Tahor. Again, we're more machmir by the Tarot, by Torot. You know, the Choshesh, that what, that the Tarot become Tameh, because you're going to touch it. However, the Yai Nesach is Mutar, meaning, well, if the Am Haaretz on one side, it's not going to make the Yai Nesach. So if we have to change this case, it's referring to if there's a nochri on one side, we're makil because he doesn't want to be called what's called nitpas ganav. He doesn't want to be caught on the other side of this border as if he's a thief. Okay? Yeah. So again, you find once again that we're more machmir by tarot, like Rebbe Meir is more machmir tarot, than by we find by yai nesach. Next. It says, Baha Rebbe machmir by tarot omechil b'yai nesach. Says, no, afrabana machmir by tarot omechil b'yai nesach. This is more like a question. Question is asking: is it only Rebbe Meir is more machmir tarot than Yain Nesach? And the answer is no. Even Rabbanan also more machmir by tarot than Yain Nesach. But hakedita, and it was both within there she taught regarding both sugyas. Yafa. Next, hayau chelimo al shulchan. Let's say he's eating with this nochri on that same table. And left the table, and in front of it left a lagin. It's like a flask or a jug of wine on the table. But lagina dulpaki, and a dulpaki is like a side serving table to prepare the food and then and bring it to the table there. Okay? V'nicho, and left it, v'yatza, and left. Masha ala shulchan, that which is on the shulchan, is asu. The wine's asu, because anything on the tables, presumably, he's allowed access, right? Okay? However, uma sha'ala dulpaki, that which is on the serving table that the guest doesn't have the right necessarily to go up and serve himself, that would be mutar. Okay? However, if he says, make yourself at home and take whatever you like, well, then that even that which is on the dulki, mashal dulki, is asur. However, once again, if he leaves the house for a long period of time, then, and even the other places, if you like, asurot, open barrels are asur, vestumot, the same position, but this is really shita of we've seen of Rebbe Shimon Gamliel. Fine. Now, let's try and understand this case in the Mishnah of the difference in the table and the dulpaki and what the conditions are. So I'm going to explain like Pei Moshe, even though it might not be so easy to see it in the words. It says, Havu bain meimar, sha'ala shulchan, that which is on the shulchan, is dafka betoch pishut yadayim v'raglayim, yadayim, not raglayim, pishut yadayim v'raglayim is when you're bowing, sorry, pishut yadayim. In other words, when do we say that which is up on the table is asur and that which is up on the dulpaki is mutar? They thought to say, the more makel position, that only that which is in arm's reach. But if there's a bottle of wine at the end of the table, well, no, that's would be mutar. Umashala mutar, and that which is on the dulbuki, we said mutar means, or chutz yadayim, meaning the way Pnei Moshe explains it, the whole table is considered like chutz, like it, the whole thing will be mutar because it's considered outside of arm's reach, even if physically, he could reach it. Okay? So that's the assumption of the sukkah. At this stage, we're saying, what's the matter? Someone else say something? I don't hear something.
No,
No?
I wanted to say that for the dulpaki, anyway, has to get up. Masha ain't cane on the table. He can stretch out, take that wine, and then he doesn't. Then it is not. Then it's also Masha ain't cane dulpaki. Well, he has to get up for it anyway.
Okay, so what we're saying now, the assumption was that even if the dulpaki is close to the table, and he
Yeah,
could
yeah,
reach
yeah,
it,
yeah.
we would say it's mutar. That's an assumption. Okay? However, v'lo ken amar Rabba bar Yerushesha. But that's not so. It's k'shem sh'al pishut yadayim b'tarot, kach natnu pishut yadayim b'yayin nesach. In other words, the same way we're machmir by Te'orot, that if he's left in the house, again, koin chachamim, that anything within arm's reach is asur, so too b'yayin nesach as well. Meaning, elakeni manda ma'ala shulchan asur. That's betoch pishut yadayim raglayim. Really means everything on the table is considered with arm's reach. So everything on the table, even if it's a large table and this nokri is left at one end and there's wine at the other end, it's a very long table, that would be considered ala shulchan, that was considered within his reshut to take. He won't be scared to take it. He's allowed it. He assumes he's allowed to take it. That'll be asur. Umashala dulpiki, that which stand the dulpiki is mutar. That's bala bilvad. It's provided that it's chutz l'pashut yadayim raglayim. I cannot say raglayim. It's outside, it's far than what his arms could reach. Okay, meaning even the dulpaki, if it's within arm's reach, he could actually grab it like that. Even sorry, that would also still be asur. So a Mishnah, according to this conclusion, is only talking about that which is on top of key that is outside of arm's reach. Okay, let's continue. So a boleshet is a type of like marauding soldiers. It says here that they're pillaging, plundering. So the Bnei Moshe says is that chayel they come to house and start trying to grab stuff. Okay, if they're doing b'shat shalom, if it's a time of peace, then chaviot. Mutarot. Open barrels, then our asur. These nochrim that came through. The main nesach. If they're sealed tight, then you're fine. B'sha'a milchama, time of war. Elu ve'elu mutarim, they're both fine. She'ein p'nai la'nesach, because they have no time to start doing yain nesach activities. Okay, as they're coming in, coming through. We'll qualify this. It says, hashmad. Now, this Shat HaShmad, Bnei Moshe says, we're not really relating to Yayin Nesach. This is taking a bit of a tangent step, a sidestep, because we're differentiating between Shat HaMilchama and Shat Shalom. And therefore, we're talking about a different thing altogether. That is, it's a Tosefta says, it's talking about the laws of Bittul Avodah Zarah. Meaning, it's not talking about a mission, it relates to a mission at all. What's the Vahachi Taninan La Hatan? That's what that Tosefta is talking about. Bimosot Sheemidu Malachim B'Shat Hashmad. We're talking about these little places where they put Avodah Zarah on, right? These Bimosot. And if it's during the Shat Hashmad, Afalpi, even if the Shmad is moved, now Shat Hashmad is when there's an oppressive situation in Eretz Israel and the Goyim are compelling us to do Averas and things like that, then we say they're all Asurot. Why? Because all these places of Avodah Zarah, these bimosiot, if it's a Shat Hashmad, they got like they did this thing with gusto and enthusiasm that it's therefore it's impossible they didn't have one Israel to make him forced to do Avodah Zarah. Interestingly, obviously you can see the conclusion from here is if the Gemara is going to in the next few lines is going to already flesh this, say it explicitly that despite the fact Israel was forced to do the Avodah Zarah, it still makes it awesome. Okay. However, the Gemara says, "Hada amra avodah zarah she'avda Israel einu batel olam." So therefore, you learn two things. One is avodah zarah that Israel worshipped is asur forever. That, if you remember, was the two different nuschot, or really the discussion we saw whether a goy can mevatel avodah zarah in Israel, and we said he can't because the Mishnah was shel chavero he can and not shel Israel. Remember, in the beginning of his life, he thought one thing, in the end, it was like the figures we have in the Bavli. So Amar Yossi, Vachmamina, you also learn that what? That Avodah Zarah she'avda Israel al korcho, Avodah Zarah that Israel worshipped and was compelled to do though against his will, still ain't a betel olam, will not be batel. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Amar Yossi, Yochanan, late kam asurot ela mutarot. Now what's this referring to? Let's look at the Bnei Moshe. He says, Klomar, after tani mamenitin b'shat milchama ela mutarot, despite the fact we said b'shat milchama, Elu ve'elu the open ones and the closed ones are mutar. Mefarish Rabbi Yochanan to olam, they're always mutar. What's the obviously we just said mutar. What's a chiddush? Meaning velotim tzangin, you will never find atzor. So what's a havamina? Meaning haynu da'afilu inichinam stumod matzam p'tuchot. Even if we're talking about barrels that were closed, this balesha came through, and as they left, you come back to that room and you find it's been left. It was opened. That you might think, de'ikala meimer, you might think, mistamein patruotan, that you might think that they actually obviously opened it. V'havamina, therefore, I would have thought, nisham milchama, that I should be chashinan in that situation. Hilka kamach malan, b'sham milchamari, ve'ein laim p'nayla naseach. Therefore, the Chiddush of the Mishnah tell that what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that even in that situation, the shatz milchama, they had no time. So just to go over this again, one more part, time. The Mishnah says, b'sham milchama, and these troops have come through, the closed barrels and open barrels, they're fine, right? Ein lahem, they've got no p'nai to do Yayin Nesach. And what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is, even if there was a barrel that was closed and it was open, and Minstama, this Nochri did open it, therefore you might think now, well, if he opened it, then it should be Asur. Kamash Malan, it's still Mutarot. However, Amar Azir, it kan Asurot, he says, no. It makes sense to say that there would be Asur, even B'Shat Milchama, in this situation when it's been opened. For example, once again, where you found a barrel was up closed, the Nochrim came through and it was found when you were back in that it was open. Because it says, Din mater behu modile, vin lo mater be lo modile, de lo yeshalem leitivo. So what this means, after the Penny Moshe, it says, Deloi, mistav difami mishkach ala ben asurot. Asur, da filo sham nechama. Koni nichus tomoy the fit closed, and if had it open, like I explained. De'in matad be humodale, meaning, this is a betmiah. Kloma, devadai, if the nochri came into Yai Nesach. And it did, nisuchayin. Modile mean, would he have informed Israel? Clearly not. And if he didn't, would he tell the nochri? No. The lo yishalim leitivo means she lo yachzik lo Yisrael tov. He's not done any favor. The fishu b'shat milchama. V'em sonim, and they hate the people. V'einam rotzim b'chezkat tovatam. They're not interested in the welfare of the people that live there. Kevat sheken. So therefore, ikel esfuket is a safek shemalonagab. There's something we touch or not. Will be nicham stumon because you found it sealed. So you left it sealed and found it open. Chayshinan. Okay, so in other words, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Shel Malchamah, it's this intense time. There's no time to nasech." So even in this situation where you've left it closed and found it open after it's still mortar, he says, "No. If it was as soon as it's now was found, you left it closed and found open. That's a reason to be choshish. They engaged in it. They touched it. They got involved in it. And there's going to be no dialogue, no interaction. That sounds like the thought of the Gemara. They have no sense of." Obligation, sort of, or feeling of affinity to the occupants to tell them what they do with the wine, so therefore you'd be choshesh that it was asur b'shamanai nesach. However, now we've got a very interesting point. What does it mean, shat shalom and shat milchama? So Rav Ami says, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, b'shalom boleshet u'b'milchamet boleshet. So what that means is, it means the relationship between the army that's coming in and the people that live there, not whether it's actually necessarily a war going on or shalom going on. So I'll read it here. It says, "Hadiktani shalom milchama v'leshet atzmakai de'im yesh la shalom mibnei ha'ir." If there's a close relationship between them, ve'in, and they're not scared of them. Chayshino lechavit p'tuchot. That's when you're scared about the barrels are open. V'keshesh lemilchama mibnei ha'ir. However, there's an conflict between this army that came to the city and the people that lived there, then a matan aleihem. Then there's a certain fear that they've got to look over their shoulders and they won't, start meditating or whatever they do and let their guard down to do nisuch hayayin. So it's a bit different the way we, why at least I assume that I learned the Mishnah. When I learned the Mishnah, I thought it was an instance of like climate at the time. Meaning, if they're racing, if it's shat shalom, they're relaxed, they can do whatever they want. They might end up nesach. But if there's a war going on. Oh, they've got no time. They're coming through the poop and they're moving out. Here we're saying, no, it's got to do with the relationship between the citizen, the city, and the army that's there. If there's shalom in them, they feel relaxed in that environment, then they're likely to do what they like. Irrespective if there's a war on or not. However, if it's there's animosity, if there's they're considered the enemies, the Balesha and the occupants of the city, again, irrespective of whether it's a wartime or not, they won't feel comfortable doing whatever they want because I have to look over the shoulder. Maybe I'm going to let my guard down so they're not going to be Yai Nesach. A very different way of looking at the Mishnah. So we just finished. We might as well get to the Mishnah. So it says as follows: Chiva mi para batri nafa lagova. So it's like there's two ways to explain this. Either a person was chasing a snake, or a snake was chasing a person. There's two ways the Panei Moshe explains it. And then it fell into a bore of wine. Out of kamira banan va'achshiru, and they said the bore is fine. Amrin ein pnei la'atil eres. So we've got im p'tai latir eres, but if you didn't have those few words, Bnei Moshe, I think, saying that since the person was running away from the snake, there's no time to do yai nesach, and therefore the person fell in the bor, therefore it's not going to be issue of yai nesach with the wine that was there in this vat. Im p'tai latir eres is another pshat, meaning another understanding. It was a person was chasing the snake, and the snake fell in, and because it's being pursued, there's no time to drop any poison there. And what they're concerned about? The concern of that gilui, if you remember. This takes us back to a completely different masechta. If you leave exposed water, wine, and things like that, and we're concerned a snake might have drunk from it and dropped its poison in. But then the chiddush, according to this reading of the sugya, is that if it's being chased and it falls in and sort of tries to get out again, there's no concern that it may have left any poison because it was like fleeing for its life. Okay. Besedah, we'll start from Halacha Tehillim, Mitzvah Shem, next year. Kol Tov. Have a good day.